Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
You trade!
Nice work,
you
Dave. Came up a little music here for this segment, right? Saw this tweet earlier today. This is huge, Sue. You ready? Just in. It's not just in now. It was just in when this was tweeted out, though, earlier this week. The University of Central Missouri plans to set a Guinness World of Record for the largest ridden parade of mules. They're having their homecoming. Why not, right?
Listen, embrace it.
Exactly. Tiffany Cochran and Jackie Jackson with UCM are with us this afternoon. Hey, gang, how are you this afternoon?
Oh, we're doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. That's Tiffany. Is that Tiffany or Jackie?
That is Tiffany. Hi, this is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. Oh, I love the energy. You guys are bringing the energy. So who came up with this crazy idea, and how are you going to execute it tomorrow?
That's Tiffany.
Yep, I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. Yeah, we were just trying to think of some ways to celebrate the 150-year celebration of the university in a big way. I don't know how it came to me, but kind of overnight, I called one of our farm managers and said, hey, if we went after a world record for a parade of mules, do you think we could do it? And he said yes, and here we are today, ready to attempt the record tomorrow.
So what is the current record?
Well, currently there is not a record, so we'll be set.
So you could do three and set it.
I wish that were the case, but actually this world record is not so nice in that way, and they did set a minimum, so we had to have at least 20 to even set the record.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, though. I mean, you wouldn't, if you do two or three, it's going to easily be beaten by, you know, I don't know how many schools have the mules as their mascot.
We're the only collegiate mules in the United States, but there are some high schools. Better mules.
Oh, that's great.
Tiffany and Jackie are going to have all the answers to my questions. I should know that. I should know that. Well, Sue, you had a question?
Yeah, well, how did you guys get the word out? Like, who is coming? Are nearby people who have mules? Like, where are they coming from?
Exactly.
You know, that's a great question. So about a month ago, we had a moment of panic because we had only six mules, and we're like, we've got to hit this record. What are we going to do? So we hit social media pretty hard. We joined every Facebook group that is associated with mules.
No joke.
And we just started getting the word out there, and a lot of word-of-mouth marketing. We would have hoped that a lot of our alumni would have mules, but a lot of our alumni helped spread the word, and they got mule owners here.
And the state animal for Missouri is a mule, so it's a very proud tradition here in Missouri to have mules and to show them off. And so we're very excited to have such a statewide partnership. And I think we have a couple coming from out of state as well.
You have, though, there are two, the way I understand it, there are two regular mascots that are on the campus, right? Molly and Mancow, is that true?
Correct, yep. And sometimes you call Mancow Tammy.
Well, sure, because that makes sense.
Yeah. Is there a reason for that?
I think Tammy was her given name at birth, and then the person that donated her to the university is Mad Mancow in the morning. Yes.
Oh, that was actually who it was? It was Mancow in the morning, or it was somebody that
donated her, yeah.
How did that happen?
That's fun. Well, you know, that's a
weird
story.
Wait, does he have ties to Central Missouri?
Yeah. He's an alum.
I did not know that. I mean, he's, for people who don't know, you know the name, Mancow, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, sure.
But I like Tammy better for the name.
Yes.
I think you're right about that.
Exactly.
So who's the game against tomorrow? For
tomorrow at 1:30, we are playing against Fort Hays State.
Yeah, I had someone tell me one point, it might have been Coach Norm Stewart at the University of Missouri, never play a state that's not a state. That's always dangerous.
So well, what did you say, Central Missouri in there?
you have to be worried about those. So the game, when is the record-breaking attempt? Is it before, after, or during the game?
So actually at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, we are having a homecoming parade. Strategically, the mules are at the end of the parade. I would hope that yes. you would know why.
Yes. Well, one of my questions on the list was who's yes. going to clean up after the mules?
Yes, so that was my question, that. Too. Yeah.
The placement of the mule parade has been the number one question. Many bands are worried they'll be walking after them. No, they're at the very end, so we think that'll be around 10:30.
Yep, and we've had great partnership with the Warrensburg community, and really just everyone wants us to hit that record. And so I think everybody's kind of banding together and saying, we're going to get it. We're going to hit this world record.
Well, we're rooting for you here in St. Louis. And not only that, but I'm just listening. You know, I pick up on things here. Tiffany and Jackie, have you ever done radio? You guys could do like a morning show somewhere. The Tiffany and Jackie
we
show.
Do that,
like. You're bouncing off one another. There's chemistry. I love it. If my boss is listening. By the way, my boss, I think, is a mule. I mean, I've known Steve for 20-something years. I've called him a jackass many times. But I think he is a mule. I think he went there.
No way. Well, I didn't know that.
It was. Yeah. That's well, awesome.
Ladies.
Snouts out. That's what we say. It's snouts out.
What is it?
Snouts out.
What? Sound pack.
You say snouts out. Like, put your mule snout out.
Snout out. Okay.
We were all looking at ourselves saying, what
did she just say?
All right. Jackie and Tiffany, snouts out. Good luck tomorrow.
Woo!
Make sure you clean up after yourselves or after the mules. And I hope you guys
no
win
problem.
The game. I love the energy. Thanks, ladies. I appreciate it.
Thanks for sharing
Thank
the
you.
Word.
Take care. That's awesome. I had to feature that just
That's
a little bit here.
That's great. Well,
that's a lot
afternoon.
Of poop to clean up.
That is a lot, right? All right, a couple things that I wanted to tidy up on. Ian Shearer is going to join us from CNET. There are a couple of things that are going on out there. You know, this is the 20th anniversary of the release of the iPod, believe it or not.
The 20th anniversary.
And think about, I tweeted this out earlier because that's a pretty significant anniversary when it comes to what happened after that. In the world that we live in with digital music, look, I have children that never really knew. It was pretty funny when I got my son one of his cars from Master Cars, the one that he totaled. He was so thrilled because it had a CD player in the car.
Yeah.
And he was like, wait a second, you can take these things. I'm like, yeah, we used to have these things because
you could put them in there.
They've really grown up only on digital music, which is weird. They're also, both my boys, though, are getting into vinyl, which is, I think, kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
But Ian's coming up here in a minute. But I want to go back to the Alec Baldwin story for people who might not be up to date. So I guess this broke last night, this story of what happened on this movie set. Rust is the name of the movie. It was in New Mexico. Alec Baldwin fatally shot the cinematographer. It was an accident with a prop gun. But the LA Times broke this story this afternoon that said that a half dozen camera crew workers walked off the set just hours before this happened to protest working conditions. Now, camera operators are not responsible for handling props, I don't think. But it does raise the question about working conditions. There certainly were problems. And then if you're looking for something that is a bit more of a bombshell in the LA Times report, they said that the crew is upset about long hours, low pay, the fact that they were being asked to commute from from Albuquerque. That's 50 miles instead of being allowed to stay at hotels. But the other thing is that there were problems on the set with the prop gun. They had something that happened even this past Saturday.
Whoa.
And there was another malfunction, two misfires on the prop gun. One the previous week, there was a serious, one person is quoted anonymously as saying there was a serious lack of safety meetings on this set. And the other thing, they described it in the story as a tier one movie, which means it's a very low budget film. It's under $6 million. So there were not, a lot of resources on this movie.
Isn't this an Alec Baldwin movie? In other words, isn't this his sponsored movie? I think that he is behind the movie as
well. Oh, he's one of the producers, you're saying. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But I guess the other thing that came out, if I didn't cover this, there was a statement that came out from the local 44 of the union that would be handling these types of things, saying that there was a live round and that the prop master on the set was not, they wanted to emphasize, was not a union member. So, you know, that's kind of interesting. I think it's also suggesting that using a non-union laborer on a film might lead to someone dying, I think is what they're trying to say right now.
Well, that is what they're trying to say. And remember, we had that story about, I can't remember what union it was that was complaining, though, about the hours, and they were going to go on strike next week if things didn't go bad. And one of the things they were complaining about was ridiculously long hours, not getting breaks, you know, that sort of thing. That's really, this is going to highlight their plight.
The one thing about the, I want to circle back that the LA Times clarifies something. When we hear live round, or they're describing it as a live round, does that mean it was a bullet?
That's what I
that's the assumption,
that is,
but what
but
they
I
say
don't know
is,
anything.
Okay, they say in the LA Times story that the live term, that's an industry term that refers to a gun being loaded with some material, such as a blank, ready for filming. So if that's the case, there might not have been a real bullet in the chamber, because when you hear live round, that's what I think, real bullet, right?
Yeah. What is,
So was there something else? Was there shrapnel? The other thing that they were saying in the LA Times story is that they were filming, they were getting ready to film this scene, and he was looking into the camera, so maybe you can envision what would have happened. You're the cinematographer is near the camera.
Sure.
And they're trying to set up a shot. Maybe the gun was pointing in that direction.
Well, that shouldn't have happened either.
That should not have happened. So that's sort of the latest on that. We're going to find out a lot more, I'm sure, as
this
the weekend
come
develops.
Out. You're so right. Piece by piece.
I have to get to the, well, this is risky because this could be an audio cut of the day as well. But this whole thing today with Ducey's so good in the press room with Jen Psaki, and the question last night from the CNN town hall. And Dave, I think we have the president on that, right? On the border. Do we have that original cut?
We might. I'm not sure.
Well, anyway, it was not the best responses last night for the president during the town hall. For example, I'll play this one. I'll see if I can find the border one.
So I must tell you, I don't have a near-term answer.
Stumbling over the gas prices on vaccines.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue, freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on.
You know, that's kind of dumbing it down quite a bit, isn't it? There, it really is ridiculous. On the supply chain,
with 40% of all products coming into the United States of America on the West Coast go through Los Angeles what am I doing here?
Is it Long Beach?
Long Beach, thank you.
There's a little help there from Anderson Cooper. I think that's who that was, right? So one question that came up last night is the president said that he had gone to the border, I guess, but he stumbled around that particular issue as well. So Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki about this because they're trying to figure out, did he go to the border? Did he not go to the border? What's the truth here?
Why did President Biden say he has been to the border?
Well, Peter, as you may have seen, there's been reporting that he did drive through the border when he was on the campaign trail in 2008, and he is certainly familiar with the fact, and it stuck with him, with the fact that in El Paso, the border goes right through the center of town. But what the most important thing everyone should know and understand is that the president has worked on these issues throughout his entire career and is well-versed in every aspect of our immigration system, including the border. That includes when he was vice president, and he went to Mexico and Central America 10 times to address border issues and talk about what we can do to reduce the number of migrants who are coming to the border. He worked in a bipartisan manner with senators like Ted Kennedy, Harry Reid, John McCain, and others to push for comprehensive immigration reform.
I know, right?
He does not need a visit to the border to know what a mess was left by the last administration. That's his view.
Okay, but he said he'd been to the border, and then he said maybe I should go to the border. So basically, here's what we know, and the follow-up is really good. I'm going to get to it.
Okay.
But on October 17th, he held a rally in Mesilla, New Mexico, and I guess they landed at El Paso, and then the motorcade took a one-hour drive to Las Cruces. So the drive took Biden along a route that for a few minutes hugs the border of the U.S.,
And then the last time he was there was 2008, was pretty much what she said.
Right, right.
2008.
But basically, they go through this. So if he lands at the El Paso airport, he takes a one-hour drive to Las Cruces that went near the border. He takes a path that basically gave him about a 2.1 mile. It's 2 minutes near the border back in 2008 is what he did. That's essentially the limit. Gee. So anyway, here more with Ducey.
Does that count as a visit? He said, I've been there before. You're saying he drove by for a few minutes. Does that count?
What is the root cause? Where are people coming from who are coming to the border, Peter?
The president said that he
I'm asking you a question because I think people should understand the context.
No, you're I'm asking you if that...
Okay, I'll answer it for you. People come from Central America and Mexico to go to the border. The president has been to those countries 10 times to talk about border issues. There is a focus right now on a photo op. The president does not believe a photo op is the same as solutions.
But he said,
that may be a difference he has with Republicans.
But that's not what he said either. He said, I guess I should go down. So does he think that he needs a photo op? Is that what he's saying?
He doesn't. And that's a fundamental disagreement he has. I would say the former president went to the border at least once, maybe more. You may know the numbers. How did that immigration policy result, Peter? That immigration policy resulted in separating kids from their parents, building a border wall that's feckless and that cost billions of dollars for taxpayers.
Well, now she's going down the talking
point. Oh my God!
Disagrees on how we need to approach the immigration
issue. Anything changed at the border between 2008 when he drove by and 2021?
Aside from the fact that migrants are still coming to the border through the course of Democratic and Republican presidents, and the need to reform the immigration system is even farther long overdue, no. But we need to work with Democrats and Republicans to get that done.
So I've said this before. I'm rather fascinated because she always calls on Ducey. There's always these testy exchanges. He seemingly comes out on top, but there's no way that they can't feel like he's the winner. We feel like he wins because I think it's kind of obvious. But why would she keep doing that? Because that is a bad exchange, and it's piggybacked on several bad exchanges. I would rank, because I follow these things and we listen to this audio, Dave, on a regular basis, this, I think, was one of the, I think this was the worst week for Jen Psaki.
Oh, yeah.
In that press room, because all these things are piling up right now.
Do you think her purpose, then, is for her to be able to say ridiculous things and blame it on past administrations instead of just saying, no, he hasn't been?
I just think
you know, because that's all it devolves into.
I think for her, she's tasked with trying to spin these things in the best way possible. But if you're going to sit there and claim, essentially what she's doing is she's claiming that a two-minute drive, if it was that, past the border 13 years ago, that counts as visiting the border. And if it doesn't count, well, he's been to all these other countries multiple times, and that shows that he's on top of this issue. Would the fact checkers at the Washington Post think that that's okay based on how they rated Pinocchio's for Trump? We'll have to see how that turns out, right? Ian Scherer from CNET is coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's some cotton thread and needles for the folks away out yonder.
Sun even came out this afternoon. We got a rainy weekend, so enjoy this while you have it here for the remainder of this evening. It gets dark early, too, and we're about to fall back. I think it's in a couple of weeks, not next weekend, but the first weekend of November. On Monday, Shaw, I'm excited because I'm a fan of Molly Hemingway, who is a senior editor at The Federalist. You see her on Fox News all the time as well. I don't think I've ever interviewed Molly, and if I have, it's been a while. She's got a new book out. We're going to talk to her on Monday afternoon at 3:25. And also, there is a friend of mine. He's a state senator now, a guy I used to work with on the radio in Milwaukee, Senator John Jagler. I can't believe he's a senator now. But he brought this to my attention because he was hanging out with a good friend of mine, Uncle Ted, Ted Nugent, in Madison a couple of weeks ago. There's a guy named Luke Heligman, who's a friend of my friend John's. And Luke has been working with Uncle Ted to get some of you who are maybe older in particular, but maybe not older, who are hunters and outdoorsmen to register to vote and make sure you vote. Because the research shows that in many situations, some of you, and I'm an outdoorsman as well, have drifted away from the process. And there's an opportunity there for conservative politics. So we're going to talk to Luke on Monday afternoon, plus an audio cut of the day as usual. We have that coming up, sponsored by The Sound Room, in a few minutes. But a bunch of tech stuff to talk about this afternoon with my friend Ian Scherer, who is CNET Editor-at-Large. Welcome to the show on this Friday as we head into the weekend. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I'm excited for the weekend, that's for sure.
I am too. My wife has been out of town, so it's going to be good to have her back because I've been doing, this will sound terrible because I should say, because I love her and I miss her so much, but I've been kind of on my own with my 6-and-a-half-year-old, and that can be, you know how that goes, right?
I do know. In fact, I also went through a period of being alone with the kids, and I love my kids, but I do not mind having extra support when she's back.
Do your kids, let me ask this question. This is the universal parenting question. Do your kids listen to you ever? Because my daughter has just completely stopped.
I don't think that they're capable of listening to us.
And we did the same thing, didn't we? I'm sure we did the same thing. All right, let's talk about a bunch of different tech things. You know, I saw your colleague, Roger Chang, he's been a great guest on the show before as well, right about the anniversary of the iPod, which I tweeted this out earlier today. I don't know if you saw this, but that's a pretty significant anniversary 20 years ago today.
My gosh, I mean, it's really interesting what that device represented. And I think what's also interesting is that a lot of people actually probably are now old enough or young enough that there are people who grew up without an iPod and just had the iPhone first. But that device is really interesting because it changed really how we look at consumer electronics. And for a whole generation, it was like the Walkman, right, where it really gave us access to the music we wanted, when we wanted it. It made it personal, right? I was able to create my own playlists and have them on my iPod. You remember all those ads of the dancing people? That was part of Apple's thing back then. And in a lot of ways, it's what helped make Apple into the company it is today. Before that, it was a struggling company, barely making it month to month and quarter to quarter. And the iPod really took it out of the gutter and turned it into this behemoth of the tech industry it is today.
You know, and I think a lot of people, certainly I did not remember that. That, you know, that happened so long ago. From Roger's article, he says this, it's easy to forget, this is to your point, Ian, that Apple jumping into this market was not a surefire bet. The company's sales, which came from its Mac computers, were on the decline, and Apple had posted, listen to this, a $195 million loss in the prior quarter. I don't know if that's ever happened since.
Yeah, I mean, look, Apple was in really bad shape when Steve Jobs came back to it in 1996-97. And there are a lot of stories out there about how it was days, weeks away from just going bankrupt. And there was this famous cover for Wired magazine that literally all it had was a picture of an Apple with a bunch of spikes on it, and it said pray, right? And the sense was that this company that helped to modernize computers and make personal computers a thing in our households may actually go under. And it's really interesting how well Apple was able to parlay the iPod into what it is now.
So 20 years ago today, it's released. But what's really, I think, interesting, by the way, Roger's piece is excellent. I would recommend that people read it. But you have, on average, he says in the article that it takes, you know, to develop an iPhone. It's like 18 months for the new iPhone. This came out in 5 months. So it was ordered basically in May. That's when, you know, the green light was given. It launched 5 months later. That in and of itself is miraculous.
Oh, it's crazy. And I think what's also interesting is that we got to actually interview Tony Fadell, who's considered to be the father of the iPod, right? And a lot of what he talks about is how he had not really, he'd already tried making MP3 players and building consumer devices on his own. And he actually had a startup when Apple came calling to him. And when they asked him to build this iPod, he was like, well, okay, we'll see. And it wasn't really,
right.
He wasn't really sure how it was going to go. So a lot of what made the iPod the thing we know today seems like a lot of happenstance and chance, and it just played out that way, which is crazy to think.
I had, my wife and I bought the, well, we had a couple versions, but I think we bought our first iPod was the U2 iPod, which was, you know, more expensive, and it was cool looking because it had the black and red. And as I remember it, I can't really confirm or deny this, but we loaded up with music and several years later sold it for quite a bit. But it didn't sell immediately really, really well, right? So
right.
The initial sales, even in the piece, I think Roger said the initial sales for Christmas of that year weren't really something that were, you know, stellar in the sense that it was going to be this next big device from Apple. So I don't know if that played into it at all with the U2 marketing.
Yeah, I mean, U2, by the time U2 came along, it was pretty much a pretty big hit. What made the difference for Apple more than anything was a decision they made about 2 or 3 years in to make iTunes, the software that controlled all of our music libraries, work with Windows. And that was a big thing because up until that moment, the iPod only existed for Mac computers. And the Macs only represented like 2% of the market. They were slim to nothing. And there were so few people who were using them. So making it available on Windows, and then Apple partnered with Hewlett-Packard, if you can imagine back that far. And Hewlett-Packard actually sold a branded version of the iPod that worked with iTunes.
I did not know
that. And
that
really helped make it a thing.
That's interesting. Now, here's a question for you. I think that maybe Roger Rabbit, can you still buy an iPod? Like, they turned it into like the Touch, right? It was the iPod Touch.
Yeah, so the iPod Touch is the thing that you really can find now. And it's interesting because when the iPod Touch came out, it came out the same, you know, around the iPhone. And the whole idea with the iPod Touch was to offer people basically an iPhone without the phone part. And, you know, for all the kids out there, right, who their parents don't want to get them an expensive phone contract. But what the device has ultimately become is almost kind of an accessory to their gaming stuff, right? They, you know, they have this thing called Apple Arcade that you can do $5 a month and you have access to hundreds of games through the App Store. And that is how Apple sells it now. They don't really sell it as the music device that they used to sell it as because most people listen to Spotify or Apple Music or streaming. They don't really think of downloading music on iTunes as much anymore.
Well, that's interesting. Ian Scher from CNET is with me this afternoon. There was, I want to briefly touch on this because I am an Apple person, a Mac guy, but they had some, was this the Apple event this week? I know I saw some news from Apple with new devices, some upgrades to MacBooks, things like that.
Yes, so the company had their big Mac event on Monday, and it's actually very interesting what they are doing. So, you know, they announced the iPhone 13 last month, and that's been selling. And this month was really about showing us what they can do with both the Mac and also their music business. They upgraded their AirPods, the headsets that are actually very popular. But with the Mac, what they did was that they brought back a lot of designs that people had been asking for their laptops. My biggest complaint has been that a few years ago they got rid of the magnetic charging cables that what it'll do is that if you trip over the cable, it just pops out of the computer versus, you know, what
right.
would normally happen, which is you would trip over it and then would fall on the floor and break and you'd be out $2,000. So Apple brought back the magnetic charging cable. They brought back a few other features that people have been asking for. They made the screens better. And overall, the reception to this has been pretty positive.
You
and,
know, the,
there's a sense.
Yeah. I have a newer MacBook, and I think I saw reference to this, that stupid touch bar thing, which doesn't
yes.
really work for, I don't like it, and they're getting rid of it, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Well, I think they realized that, you know, people just didn't like it as much. And look, I will always give Apple credit for putting their bet in something that they can't guarantee, right? The company does try to innovate, and even though they have a very good track record, they do screw up every once in a while, and I think they realized that that idea of the touch bar having essentially kind of a touchscreen iPhone-ish type thing at the top of your keyboard that you can program to do anything, right? To answer a call on Zoom or to hang up or to copy-paste or whatever else, that people just didn't like using it. And I don't like using it. And so they got rid of it, and they're back to normal function keys, which
yeah.
I think a lot of people wanted.
Well, I give them credit, too, because, you know, why stick with things if people are complaining? They're listening to the customers. So I saw this story, and this is a little older, but I was confused by it, and you're very good at explaining things to me, and I'm a Packers fan. So this story said how an obscure Green Bay Packers site became the biggest thing on Facebook, and I didn't really understand it at all. So, you know, Fred sent you this story. Can you explain to me what was going on here? Because the single most viewed URL on Facebook over the last 3 months with 87.2 million views was this site devoted to charging people to hang out with former Packers players. How is that even possible?
Yeah, so,
that doesn't make any sense.
So what's going on is that Facebook slowly has been trying to release data that makes them look good and not like a crazy pool of disinformation people hanging on each other for politics. And as part of releasing this data, one of the data points they released was about the most engaged with pages, right? So not the most popular, right? We're not talking about like Lady Gaga or Kim Kardashian. We're talking about the ones that get the most clicks,
uh-huh.
the most shares,
yeah.
stuff like that. So what it turns out is that one of these pages, the one you brought up, that's tied to the Green Bay Packers, was really popular because it would post a lot of these memes that people like to participate in, right? What are the places you've visited? Give us the name for this old thing that you're looking at that a lot of people don't know about anymore, or stuff like that. Or, you know, if you've gone skinny dipping, you know, remark where you did it. And all of these types of memes get a ton of attention. And so as a result, even though it has actually a very small number of people who follow that page, it has millions and millions and millions of people who saw the memes and then responded to them. And that is how it became one of the most popular on Facebook.
Yeah, there's all these little things that happen, these little nuggets that are kind of weird and fascinating at the same time. One other story I want to talk about, because I know you reported on this yesterday, and we had, I think, on the CBS feed, was about Bitcoin. This is something else that makes my brain hurt. Bitcoin, every time I talk about it, we've talked about it before. All I know is I keep seeing stories, people poo-pooed it years ago, but if you bought some of this stuff, it's still surging, right?
Yeah, so Bitcoin is actually up near its all-time highs again, which is, by the way, for those keeping track, is around north of $60,000 per Bitcoin, which is crazy thinking. You know, I remember 10 years ago and it was like $12 a Bitcoin. And part of what is doing this is that the Wall Street has allowed one of the first exchange-traded funds to be sold on Wall Street that's connected to Bitcoin. So the idea here is that a company called ProShares has a fund that they've set up, which has about $20 million worth of Bitcoin in it. And what happens is that you are able to buy a share in that fund and benefit from Bitcoin moving around, right? And you're, as a normal investor, you're able to kind of invest in Bitcoin in a way without having to actually, you know, get a wallet and deal with buying Bitcoin and all that crazy stuff and remembering a password, all those annoying things. Now you can just do it through the open New York Stock Exchange. So it's a minor thing, right, in a way, because really it's just a fund. But for a lot of people, especially in the Bitcoin world, it's kind of that moment where Wall Street is suddenly starting to become accepting of this stuff. And that is causing a lot of people to be excited, which is why the price keeps going up.
But it also makes a lot of people like me not understand any of it. So in 5 years, if I'm still kicking in 5 years, we're doing some interviews. Are we going to be talking about this being a much more significant part of everyone's lives?
Well, it's probably going to be a part of our lives. The technology underneath Bitcoin that makes it work is actually far more impactful than Bitcoin itself. I don't know where Bitcoin's going to go, but I do know that hospitals and banks and all sorts of other people are already taking the technology that Bitcoin is built on, which allows an exchange of information in a very efficient way. And what they're doing is that they're starting to actually change the way that they handle data. And so it may actually change a lot of the way the internet works, even though Bitcoin at one point may even disappear. I don't know. I have no idea where it's going. But I do know that that technology is very, very meaningful.
CNET editor-at-large Ian Scherer, always great to have you on. You have a great weekend. Thank you for clearing up some of these tech questions. Always interesting. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Audio cut of the day. We do it every weekday at this time, sponsored by my friends at the Sound Room. Head out there this weekend. They're right next to Amini's in the Chesterfield Valley. They have the Sony 100-inch TV, the triple-digit TV.
Wow.
It is amazing, and they have 85s and 65s, too, but all kinds of stuff on display at the Sound Room. So, Sue, I don't know that you know who Chris Spielman is. He was an NFL player, played for the Detroit Lions. He's actually their current special assistant, so he's with the team.
Okay.
And they have something. Remember when the whole John Gruden thing came up a couple of weeks ago? They tore his name down, the Ring of Fame, in Tampa. Do you know that? Well, he won a Super Bowl down there. So Team Kansas City has this. I'm sure the Rams have this now at SoFi. But they have all their Hall of Fame players.
Sure.
So it's like the Ring of Fame. They call it in Detroit the Pride of the Lions. So Chris Spielman, they tricked him. So they brought him in to do a video, and they gave him a script. And there's a camera in there, and behind the curtains, his mom and dad were there, and he was reading a script, right? So he doesn't know what's happening here. He just thinks he's doing a promo for the team.
On Sunday, October 31st, when we take on the Philadelphia Eagles, we're celebrating the Lions Legends community as part of our annual homecoming celebration at Ford Field. At halftime, we will honor one of the greatest Lions ever. Four-time Pro Bowl selection, he helped the team to four playoff appearances, two NFL Central titles, and a berth in the 1992 NFC Championship game. What are you guys doing here?
I realize it's
him. And that he kind of breaks down here. His mom and dad come out.
Hey, Chris.
Keep reading. He led the defense for 8 seasons and is the Lions' all-time leader in career tackles, 1,138. Now he'll be in the newest inductee team's Ring of Honor, the Pride of the Lions. Congratulations, Chris.
That's making me teary.
You guys got me. I thought I was aware of all this.
I just thought that was great. Now, the downside for Chris Spielman is he's a Detroit Lion. Outside of that, it would be a great story. And there is a sad aspect to this as well. Well, you know. His wife, this is a long time ago, but back 20 years ago, 21 years ago, he had a wife that was diagnosed with breast cancer. And then she passed away. She battled that for 10 years and passed away in 2009. But I just thought that was a great story.
That's a wonderful story.
I love the way that they surprised him. Did you see the video of the kid who had not seen his dad for a year because he was off overseas?
I love all of these.
So he's a high school football player, and they brought him all to the center for the coin toss. And the one of the refs says, now take a good look at the officials. We'll make sure you know. And the kid looks at it, and it's his dad.
Stop it!
Yeah,
that's cool.
It was really cool. It was really cool. I love stories like that. All right, we do this every week as well. Go out with this.
And now, Mark's new music discovery of the week.
Wow, what a totally amazing, excellent discovery.
Well, this guy by the name of Jesse Malin, he started as a punk rocker many, many years ago. He's a New Jersey Springsteen disciple, and this is a new record that's out. And this is one of my favorite songs from it, Backstabbers. And I like Jesse a lot. Never seen him in concert, but this is one of the best records I've heard this year.
I was born out in a burrow. I was born inside a void. I was looking out for something, man, that couldn't be destroyed.
You know, there's a lot of these artists out there that people have never heard of, and I'm guessing most people have never heard of Jesse Malin.
I haven't.
But he's had a great career putting out outstanding records for four decades. People who know the Eastern Band and they know the East Coast music scene, they know Jesse Malin, and other musicians know Jesse Malin as well. But I love this record, and I've been listening to it quite a bit, so I wanted to feature it. We'll go out with the latter part here. Sue, you have a great weekend.
Hey, you too.
We'll talk on Monday.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.